Hey, my love, it's your girl, Corey Love, back with another Carefree Cinema Conversation. Listen, if this is your first time, thanks for tuning in. If you're a returning guest, thanks for always rocking with your girl. So tonight, we have the pleasure of speaking with the myth, the man himself, the legend. So if you don't know him, you're going to get to know him tonight. So stay tuned. So you already know my platform is a positive space for all things Black in the independent film. So tonight I want to personally invite you to join me next month in Atlanta for Legit Paper Entertainment Indie Filmmaker Weekend. Listen, it's happening November 8th through the 10th in Atlanta. And there's going to be conferences, one-on-one basketball tournaments. There's going to be fitness, and there's two special guests, Erica Pinkett and Tyler Lep Lee. So I want to see you there, but you need to follow me and make sure you follow Indie Filmmaker Weekend. I will be giving away tickets. I'll be giving away tickets tonight and random days throughout the week. So again, if you're not already following, follow Indie Filmmaker Weekend. And now, without further ado, I'm going to bring on our special guest tonight, Legend.
What up?
Hey, coming on the show tonight. Sorry for the technical difficulties and the delay, but we here like the fest, so we're gonna make it happen, okay?
Hey, look, even when we late, we right on time.
I know that's right. Tell the people who you are, just a little introduction, because you already know I'm gonna be asking all the questions.
No, I got you. I'm Legend. I'm an author, writer, director, and a producer. I've been in the industry for almost 20 years now. And like some of my biggest films are Absence of Innocence, Omission, Asbury Park, and my new movie is out right now, When Her Walls Talk.
Now, I didn't know you were doing it that long. You're definitely a legend in this game. Yeah,
man, I've been through some things. I've earned my stripes.
I know that's right. One thing I do like about you is you take, and I'm not knocking anybody else. Everybody do their thing how they do it. But one thing I love about you is you take your time, and your films are so, they have great quality when you bring it out. So shout out to you for that. That's an experience. That comes with the experience, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yep, absolutely.
You're welcome. Now, what pursued you to do filmmaking?
I always wanted to get into filmmaking. I grew up as a kid who loved movies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, growing up in Detroit, I never thought it was realistic for me. Mm-hmm. I knew we couldn't afford college, let alone film school.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, you know what? Go ahead and kind of put that to the side. And I just focused on the writing part of it. And I figured maybe one day I may get the opportunity to kind of do something else. And actually, it was my writing that led to an opportunity for me to write for a film and learn how to do films and things like that. So it all started with an ink pen.
That's what's up. And you're an author as well. How many books do you have out?
I currently have 9 books. And it's a link to all of my books on www.iamlegendkw.com.
I am legend. Okay, definitely got to check that out. Now, are any of the stories, the movies from your books?
Actually, my current movie, the one that just came out, When Her Walls Talk, uh-huh, is actually the first book that I adapted into a screenplay. And it's kind of, you know, it's one of those situations.
So is a book better than a movie? Because you know they usually said a book is better than a movie.
You know what? My wife would say it is. Just because it's more detailed. Because keep in mind, like, I came up in an era where you had, like, Zane.
Yeah.
And the erotic books. And so, When Her Walls Talk, the novel, is on that type of time. You know?
But,
okay. Yeah, it's one of those. But, but you can't put all that on camera.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, with that being said, you know, this is an altered version of it. Both of them are dope, but they're so different.
Yeah,
and I understand now why, you know, why it's such a difference between, you know, books and the movies, because, you know, even adapting my own work, it was like, ooh, it was challenging.
I can imagine.
But so yeah,
if you guys have not watched When Her Walls Talk, I want you to stream it this weekend. You can start tonight after the show. because on Monday, I'm going to be going live again. And we, myself, Alicia Monet out of Atlanta, she's an author as well. We are going to be doing a live review on the film When Her Walls Talk. It's on Tubi for free. You ain't got no excuses. Go stream it. Okay. And remember, hit that like, you know, the little thumbs up on there. And that helps to bring the film to the most popular or featured or something like that. Just hit that like button. Okay. Now, what are some of the initial challenges, if you had any, that you faced when you first started in the game?
Filmmaking, not knowing what the fuck I was. Can I say fuck?
We're not on a network yet, so
okay. just really not knowing what the fuck I was doing. Mm. And it was cool because like came up in a time where it's like just learning off of YouTube or just grabbing information from anywhere that I could get it. You know what I mean? I found out a friend of mine, Darren Brown, have been doing music videos and stuff like that. Shout out to Darren. And so I went over and I worked with him as a production assistant. So, you know, when Darren was directing videos looking all cool and shit, I was pushing him on a dolly and, you know, wrapping up his chords and everything like that. So, but the big thing was just having the opportunity to learn and see what was going on and you know, be able to, hey, what that like to do? Hey, why do we wrap the chords like this? You know, why did you do this? Why did you do that? And so actually taking the opportunity to learn, just be around just to learn.
And that's one of the reasons why I love being a PA. And I talk all day on set whenever I work because exactly that. So you just gave me hope that I could do it too in the long run. So I ain't trying to wait too long, but that's definitely one of my goals to produce.
No, but I mean, if you think about it, it's damn near like free school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're on set, you get to see how they're setting up things, how you're setting this, how you're doing this, what equipment you need. Mm-hmm. It's being on set and having access is everything, you know, and then you just figure out ways to fill in the gaps in between. And that's what I did. Cause I went from doing that to directing music videos for local artists for a while to actually shooting my own film.
Do you feel there's a big difference in the film? I mean, obviously the length of the film, but with the just the preparations and the setup with music videos to film.
No, it's the same thing. It's a music video is a scene.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It's like, okay, well, each in a movie, scenes are typically, you know, like 3 to 5 minutes.
Right.
Music video is like 3 to 5 minutes. Okay. So it's the exact same thing. It's just doing more of them and sticking them together.
Nice. Okay. That makes so much sense. Now, what's your, like, in every film, the actors, especially Absence of Innocence and Omission, it just seems like the right actors are playing each of the roles. What is your approach to casting if you do it, or do you have a casting director?
One of the things, I worked along with my casting director, but the most important thing is that it's the right person. I think a lot of times with independent films, and no shot at nobody, but a lot of people just tend to go with who's popular as opposed to who's right.
Yeah.
Where I don't really give a fuck who's popular. I want to make sure that the person is right. So we do that, and then making sure that, you know, I'm big on rehearsals, where some people are, you know, hey, just show up and come do your job. Yeah. I like to know, you know, based on some of my earlier on experiences, I like to actually see my actors in those roles in the way that I need them to be prior to cameras going up. You know, so that preparation process is very rigorous, but it ensures that I'm getting the best performances out of my actors, so that's why I do it that way.
I love it. That makes a lot of sense. Definitely do. Now, I know you've had 4 films so far and worked in many others, probably, but...
4? Girl, I got 7. Quit playing with me.
Asbury, Omission, Absence of Innocence. Well, 4 that I know.
The Black Lives, Consequences.
What consequences?
I see you fucking up. I produced it. I got Asbury Park, Black Lives.
Consequences with Swift Long?
No, not that one. It's like 30 consequences. But no, right. I've got Asbury Park, Black Lives, Consequences, Absence of Innocence, Omission. When Her Walls Talk. Fuck it up. And City Boy.
City Boy. Yep. Oh, yes. I did like City Boys. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I haven't seen Black Lives or Your Consequence. So I got to check those out.
Yep, definitely.
I've seen five of them. So that's damn good. Okay. Cool. Yeah. So I need to see the two.
Absolutely. Now, catch up, baby. Catch up.
I know I got to catch up. I got to. I definitely will. Has anyone auditioned, like come into the audition and they immediately, you're like, yeah, that's it. We don't need nobody else. Tell me if that's happened.
No. No, but you know what? But I have had people who have come in and auditioned and I say, I want to work with them. Okay. That's the big thing. Like I tell actors all the time to stop focusing on getting the role that you're auditioning for and focus more on leaving an impression.
Wait. We got to run that one again. You tell actors to do, this need to be big screen. What'd you say now?
I tell people, don't focus so much on getting the role that you're auditioning for and focus on leaving an impression. Mm. And the reason I say that is because you may come in and do phenomenal, but you may not fit other logistics for the role. You know what I mean? You can't control, as an actor, you can't control that. But what you can do is come in and give a performance that makes me say, hey, I need to use him. I need to use her. Or I want to work with them. You know what I mean? Stand out. Because one of the problems that I see when people audition, because typically when I do auditions, I have roughly 300 to 400 people come out. Wow. A lot of actors make the mistake of coming in and just saying the lines. Mm. I had 300 motherfuckers come in here and say the same shit that you said. So but you're not memorable. You did nothing other than say what was written. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So come in, make that character yours. Hey, you remember the one who was dressed in the outfit?
Yeah.
Or you remember the one that really locked in on or one of the people behind the table and really made it personal? Those are the things that stand out more as opposed to you coming in and saying the words. And it's even worse when I see people come in and they read it. And I'm like, okay, all you showed me is that you can read.
Yeah.
And you didn't care enough about my stuff to actually memorize it.
Right.
Because it goes both ways. If you don't care enough to memorize my material, I don't care enough to cast you.
Hello.
Don't nobody give a fuck.
Yeah. That makes sense. So basically, come dressed if you're going to be the old lady around the corner.
Yeah.
Dressed for the old lady around the corner down the street. Stand out.
Come in and stand out. Leave an impression because, again, even if you don't get that role, I know that you're somebody that's going to come in and give it your everything and come in and lay it all out and come in prepared.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for. It's too many people that want to do this to think that you can come in half-assed and you're going to get things to go your way.
Right. So you know that's a big tip, and that's a technique he's giving game right now. So if you need to rewind this and make sure you check it out, if you're watching this replay, listen to that very clearly and understand what he's saying. Show up and show your ass out, okay? That's how you're going to get it. Even like he said, even if you don't get that one, he going to remember you for something else because of how you stood out. So
yeah, because a lot of times when I do casting for future projects, I will reach out to people that left an impression like, yo, that may not have been right for you, but hey, I got this over here. Mm-hmm. Yup. Come on. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that's at the top of my list.
Got you. Now, with the scripts that you've written, I know, for example, in Absence of Innocent, it's centered around sexual harassment at a college. Is there... What inspired that story, and how does that relate to, I guess, perspectives within the community?
Well, my mom was raped by a pastor. Wow. And watching the aftermath with her, watching how it lingered, watching how she responded, even as time went by, you know, rape is one of those things that it doesn't go away.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't go away. And so with absence of innocence, you know, that's what the main character Drew was dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, something that happened that traumatized her and it didn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, so she sought out her own vengeance.
Years after.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I say, and a lot of things that I write, like, I like to talk about things that people experience but don't really talk about, you know, yeah. and different people have their thing, you know, had their own genre or whatever.
Right.
But if you look at my films, I want people to think. Like, that's one of the things that's important to me. I'm not ever going to try to control what you think. Mm-hmm. But it's important to me that the viewers of my films actually think and walk away and talk about things.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the same thing like with Omission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard a lot of backlash about the film because they were like, well, she's praying in the morning and being religious, but then she's selling sex.
Wicked. Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, well, that's not as uncommon as some of y'all may think.
Yeah, because if I pray every morning and I have sex with my husband, so is that a bad thing?
No, I mean, but that's
well,
the thing.
Saying, like, if there's backlash about it, like, you got to make it make sense.
Yeah, but think about it. It goes back to what we talked about before off camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of times people are super quick to criticize because we don't know your personal shit.
Mm.
You know, and with my films, I like to let's take the camera back there.
Yeah.
You know, and look at those things that everybody's not talking about. And let's look at those things that are common.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying they can't relate. Mm-hmm. They just talking about her because we see her doing it.
Yes. When
you
a
know
lot
what
of
I mean?
Because listen, I cannot wait for Monday, because if you guys have not seen When Her Walls Talk, you got to go watch it, because I know that conversation is going to be so good.
When Her Walls Talk is, I had a ball with it, because again, like I just said, a lot of times we're quick to criticize other people because they don't know the skeletons that's in our closet.
Mm-hmm.
And When Her Walls Talk is, again, it's taking the camera inside the closets of regular people. Nothing was super far-fetched as creative and extreme as those situations were.
Right.
It's, you know, these ain't just stories. You know what I'm saying? These ain't just stories. Influence, a lot of things are heavily influenced by real life. But, you know, we can call it entertainment, but the truth is, it's somebody else's reality. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, definitely. How do your, I know Kia was in Absence of Innocence. I mean, I don't have her here, but how do you feel, how do you think that she kind of, what would you say, zoned into her role or character?
For her? I'm going to be honest, and the story with Kia is really interesting. That's my baby all day. Shout out to Kia B. One of the reasons I was so proud of Kia with Absence of Innocence is because prior to that film, she had never been a female lead. And a lot of people, because of her shape and her looks, a lot of people were like, hey, let's make her the girlfriend or the sex symbol or this and the other. And that really giving Kia, you know, the opportunities that she deserved. And so with that film, you know, she and I had that conversation. I was like, yo, Kia, this is about to open up a lot of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so shout out to her. She took it so seriously. She came in and, you know, again, Kia probably gonna kill me for this, but she was coming to rehearsal, had the cornrows in, the unpretty with the jogging suit. And, you know, in the notebook, and she was just locked in. It wasn't about being pretty. It wasn't about being sexy. It was about being an actress.
Yeah.
And Kia came in and gave her everything to that role and showed these stupid motherfuckers that she could be a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going on to lead in several other films. And I'm super proud of her. So, Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we say privately, fuck them. Keep doing what you're doing.
And you know I see that now she killing it. She doing it.
Killing it.
Literally, like, man, and we had that conversation at Biffa, she and I, and she was saying that she don't want that her body to be what gets her her role. She want her
absolutely talent. So absolutely,
I'm glad you gave her that opportunity because now they requesting her
as they should be. Uh-huh.
Right. So. Listen, we're going to stop here real quick just for me to send you guys a reminder. If you're not already following Legend, follow him at I Am Legend KW on Instagram and also on Facebook. Go stream When Her Walls Talk. Don't forget to hit that thumbs up when you do it. It's streaming on Tubi for free. And I wanted you guys to join me November 8th through the 10th. In Atlanta for Indie Filmmaker Weekend. If you have not already purchased your ticket, keep following my page at The Corey Love Show on Facebook and Instagram or on Corey Love TV on YouTube because I will be giving away tickets. I'll just be popping on randomly. But you have to follow Indie Filmmaker Weekend to know what's going on because the questions will be stemming from there. Okay? And this month, I am going to be opening up November, I'm going to be opening up the nominations because 2024 Top 12 Awards by the Corey Love Show will be back. So think about your movies from this year. Think about your actors, your actresses. And I'm definitely going to be doing youth. I'm adding on director of photography this year and short films. I feel like short films don't get enough love and they're short, but they be really, really well. So make sure you think about all of those. And for upcoming actors and actors, they have to be individuals that have been in five or less films, not more. So if they've done six and seven films, they're not upcoming. They're pretty much in the game already. So stay tuned for that. And I'm super excited. It's going to be happening December 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay. So. So we're going to move right on along. Now, budget. I know funds are a huge thing in the independent film. So I know some people say you could do a film with $10,000. Some people wish they had $60,000. Some people just wish they had at least $5,000 to do it. How do you manage your budget while still achieving the look? Because there's one scene in Absence of Innocence. I think that's when they were dancing. They were in a party. Mm-hmm. And it looked like it was so, it definitely looked like a college party. It was packed. In a room, it was really packed. So how do you manage your budget while still achieving all of that?
See, I'm not that person. You know what I'm saying? I'm not that number cruncher. I tell people all the time, growing up poor is my superpower. I knew I was never going to out money people, but what I could do is out create people. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people who get fixated on, you know, 20,000, 50,000. Mm-hmm. Man, I will make a movie for fucking $10.
Yeah.
Okay. Like and that's one of the things that because again, I was that person growing up I didn't have.
Yeah.
So if you have a camera, you can make a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know why, but it's so much information on like YouTube and Google that can teach you how to light, right? Like Let's simplify this shit. The truth is, most people have phones, right? Uh-huh. Okay. And what did I just tell you earlier about music videos? It's shooting things.
Right.
It's the same thing. The same way people TikTok and do scenes, you take enough of those, put them together, you got a movie. Ah. So if it's three of us, we can shoot at my house, we can shoot at your house, we can shoot at the other person's house. So there's our locations.
Ooh!
You know what I'm saying? We got a camera, and all we need is clean audio.
Wow.
You know, yeah. for $200, you can buy a recorder. For another $100, you can buy a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have equipment. Like, I just hate when people sit back and talk about, oh, well, you know, you got to have this type of camera and this type of light and this type of whatever. Like, get off that bullshit. Like, let's make this shit simple.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So no. So I'm never a person who's going to sit back and talk about budget. The real thing is learn how to fucking write. How about that? Learn how to fucking write. Make a story that makes sense and people watch that shit.
Right.
do that, because the truth is, if we're watching something and we've seen people follow stories on TikTok and other mediums, where if the story is good and it's juicy and it's interesting, then people are watching.
They're watching.
We don't really give a fuck if the episode is 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so get to a point where you're actually writing good stories and filming it. Because the truth is, and this is where my experience comes in, because I go back 20 years with most of these niggas, everybody's first shit wasn't good. my first shit wasn't good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I can dig in the archives and pull out ass material for damn near everybody. You know, so we know people is top dogs now, but
Right.
Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? We all made mistakes, we all had to learn, we all had to bump our heads. And so let's just really embrace that, you know, as part of the journey, as opposed to coming down on the newer filmmakers, like my dude Eric Michael, he directed and he produced Consequences. Mm-hmm. He did it for like a $5,000 budget. Him and his friends got together and was like, hey, let's do something. They wrote a story and they made it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's filmmaking. That's truthfully the heart of filmmaking. It's not having a lot of money.
Right.
Most of the greatest filmmakers didn't have great budgets, but it was relationships with people. You know, it was, you know, storytelling. Mm-hmm. Hey, I go to this grocery store every day. Let me ask the owner, can I shoot it? He fucks with me, so he let me shoot it. You know what I'm saying?
Boy, I tell you, you are inspiring me today. Yeah, I have a partner here that we're trying to start doing skits. You know, we're going levels. We're going to do it levels. And that's what I keep saying to him. I say, I got cameras. I have a home. Nobody needs to know if it's this room, that room, if it's the same house. I said, we can do this. Trust me, we can do this. So you just like, I've got to run this back and make sure that I send it to him, because
that's what it is. Like, seriously, like a house can be a bunch of different locations.
Yeah.
The front of it can be one person's house. The dining room can be one person's house. The living room can be somebody else's house. The bedroom can be somebody else's house.
Yeah,
it's really just a matter of learning how to do everything. Mm-hmm. And the writer has so much power, because if you write with the things you have access to in mind, then you can make something.
Yeah.
Think about it. It was a movie. What was the movie? A phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
They shot the whole shit in a phone booth. You know what I'm saying?
And that other movie, Tom Hanks. It's not an independent film, but
which one? Castaway.
Castaway.
Yeah, like shit. City Boy. Like, in City Boy, we only had 3 locations.
Wow.
See? You know, and I wrote it intentionally, just, you know, for that reason. I like to experiment with stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it all comes down to creativity. Everything is not budget.
Yeah. Yeah. That's man, I'm so excited that you said that tonight. That made me feel really, really good.
Hey, look, my man Beezy is on my Instagram live. He said, watch Pillow Talk. Shout out to Beezy Jones. Make sure y'all watch Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk is good. Definitely good. Yeah. But you just said something that makes a lot of sense, especially dealing with locations and filming, creating, building your network and finding people to collaborate. How do you go about doing that? I know you said if you go to the store a lot, you ask the guy, but how do you do that with other people for other locations?
I mean, think about it. Like, first of all, like, and I always say this, the writer has a lot of control over it. What do you have access to on a regular basis? Like, if you my homegirl and you got a hair salon, hey, Corey, can I shoot at the hair salon?
Right.
You know, you like most people have friends.
Yeah.
What do your friends do for a living?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Most people have neighbors or, you know, people who they've grown up with who may have businesses or have access to other things. Mm-hmm. Utilize your everyday network.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then even for things that may step outside of your personal network, reach out to, you know, reach out to small business owners. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're open. Like, shout out to Moneyball. Mm-hmm. They were a sponsor. They're an athletic brand, and they were sponsors for several of my films. Okay. You know what I mean? And the thing,
advertisement too.
Yeah. And the thing is, what I tell people is don't always look at it from what's in it for you. Look at it, what's in it for them. Gotcha. You know, because the truth is these movies that we're making are being seen by millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How can that benefit them?
The other person. Yeah.
You know, if somebody has a restaurant here in Detroit and we put in a movie and we just make it look phenomenal, when people come in town, what are they going to think? Hey, where's that restaurant at?
And I do that for sure. So, yeah.
Yes. That's- so it's a real thing. So, you know, again, it's really just about networking. It's about relationships. Like filmmaking is one of those. It's such a collaborative medium, mm-hmm. because it's not just a one person show. You're talking about the artists as in terms of the filmmakers and the actors, but mm-hmm. the crew is relevant. The background actors are relevant. Like, and it's the music. It's everybody literally coming together to create something special. You know, that's what filmmaking is. So, you know, again, utilizing that network is everything.
Yeah. Utilizing that network is everything. I gotta write that one down. I like it. I definitely like that. Now, with that being said, that plays into marketing as well. Is mm-hmm. that one of your strategies for marketing, or do you like literally do ads and different things on?
Yeah, I still do ads. Like marketing is just nonstop. It's running ads, is consistently posting, is getting into groups and asking people to share and things like that. Yeah. It's marketing is just the nonstop part of it.
Right. And that's something that I do see, like a lot of filmmakers in the best Tubi group this, Tubi group that, and engaging with the people. So that's huge for me, because sometimes you'll comment, and granted, I personally feel if you have only two comments, you can respond. You're not that busy. You're not that superstar. Yeah. Like, respond. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to every filmmaker, actor, actress that actually engages with their audience. That makes a difference, because now that person, okay, I'm going to be into, you know, I'm going to make sure I check this out. I'm going to check out whatever he or she has, because they talk back to you. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
So, but let's get into, we're going to, you know, getting ready to close. And we just want to talk about some things that are engaging. Like, you engage with your audience, which is great, because once I shot you a DM, boom, you were on it. You communicate. That's such a big thing to me. Really, really, really. Absolutely. Big. So thank you for that. Now, there's, you know, I know you have other films that are coming out. Where I should say you're not that big on popularity, which is good, because you're more so on the talent aspect of it. Perfect. Name a mainstream actor that you would absolutely love to be in one of your upcoming films.
A mainstream actor.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's a tough question. that's really a tough question. what's dog name? I don't know. I'm about to get back to you on that one.
Here's another good one. What's the last Black independent film you watched besides one of your own that blew your mind away? Like, dang, they did that.
Hey, look, you hitting me with some. You know what? A Good Man, Part One.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because like I'm be honest, and I told Joe this. I was writing something. I was kind of just, you know, just casually just writing some stuff. And then I saw A Good Man. I was like, damn, I got to step my game up.
For real?
No, for real. And like, here's the thing. As competitive as this is, I feel like we should be here to inspire each other.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I can say about the Detroit film community is grown so much within a short amount of time. And I think our standards have improved dramatically from where we first started, you know? And so to actually, you know, continuously see growth in what we're doing, dude, that's everything, you know, that's everything. So, yeah.
I definitely want to commend you for telling him that, because you're not watching or copying, you're actually inspired by him. So tell him, that's you, some people won't.
Yeah, no, but like a lot of people have insecurities and trying to, that's not who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like it's people who I see working, you know, I see being consistent. I watch growing, you know, and when you get to see that, that's what you want. Like I look at people like Rocky and Janaea, you know, they're doing their thing, but I'm like, yeah, I remember 20 years ago when they got their film on DVD and they was trying to, you know, I still got the DVD from back in the day. You know what I mean? So to watch them now,
been doing this.
Yeah. So to watch them now where they're, you know, shooting, you know, two films a month and being super consistent with it now, a lot of people think like, dang, they just came out of nowhere. Like, no, dude, they was in the trenches 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? And just to see just consistent throughout it, you know, like I look at somebody like Beezy. Beezy was shooting music videos and me and him was talking about this shooting a short film about 15 years ago. You know what I mean? Just sitting down on the couch, kind of mapping out things and stuff like this. So wow. to look at him now and see him with 50 movies under his belt, 50 yeah. plus movies under his belt.
Because he directs a lot.
Yeah, he directs a lot. But to see those things, those are the things that inspire me to keep going, because you know we all have personal lives. We all dreamed of reaching the space where we were doing this full time. You know, and to actually be consistent and fight through it all, because there's a lot of people that started with us that fell off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to watch people stick with it and fight through it and do it on a high level now, like, yeah, but shit, it's been 15, 20 years to get here.
Yeah.
You know? And that's seriously, and that's the part that a lot of people don't see.
Yeah.
You know?
Consistency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Again, you just blowing my mind tonight, just with the encouragement. You don't even realize you're answering questions, but at the same time, you're like pushing me and encouraging me, because I just spoke with someone recently and they said a millionaire told them it takes 10 years to get to where you want to go, so don't stop. And I'm like, but I'm tired now. I've been doing this 2 years and I'm like, I'm tired. Yeah.
No, man, like it's like seriously, it's been a grind. Like I remember me and Dennis, we wrote our first novels the same time.
Okay.
And you know, we was in the beauty shops selling books. You know what I'm saying? So now to look up and you see 10 movies come out every weekend with Dennis Reed Presents. You know? And that's the thing. No, I'm serious, and it's a spike. Keep in mind, like me and Dennis grew up 3 houses down from each other.
Oh wow. Okay.
You know, so to watch the growth, to watch the vision, to watch the, you know, and for me, it just inspires to say, hey, don't quit. Even when, you know, a lot of people applaud me for having 7 films in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm going way too slow.
You think so?
Fuck yeah.
I think it's quality, man, over quantity, though.
No, I think it's a way to find both. But okay.
Yeah, that's true.
But for me, you know, I know I've had to deal with life and different things. And so, you know, my story is my story. My journey is my journey. But I say that to say it takes consistency. It takes resilience. It takes, you know, when you have those moments where you be like, this ain't happening fast enough. Yeah, stick with that shit. You know, and you'll look up and things have changed. You know, situations have changed because it happened for me.
I'm going to stick with it.
I'm going to stick with it. As a matter of fact, look, your first feature film, I don't care where it's at, I'm at the premiere.
Yay! Okay. This on recording now, baby. It's
over. Yeah, look. I got to hop a flight and pop up in Florida. I'm popping it.
Oh, man, that means a lot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, man. Again, guys, if you're tuning in now or you're catching a replay, I am speaking tonight to the man himself, the legend. So if you're not already following, again, make sure that you follow him and go stream his most recent movie, When Her Walls Talk. Stream it and tune in on Monday as I do a live movie review with Alicia Monet out of Atlanta. We're going to be talking about all the stuff that was in this, honey. If y'all ain't seen it, I need you to go watch it, okay? So we're going to jump right on into game. What'd you say? So if you haven't seen this episode, I used to do would you rather this or that and just random different things. So I think I'm going to stick with game time. I want to make it like game time back in the day.
What you got for me?
So this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to be showing you something. It's going to have a different question and you're going to respond and we're going to keep it moving. It's going to be timed. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to see how this go.
Let's see.
What is that, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Okay, you got that. Ready? Okay. Wait, trying to make my little sound. Okay. Next one. Which actress made history by becoming the first Black woman to win the Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series for her role in How to Get Away with Murder?
Viola.
Boom. You know your stuff. Okay, let's go. Let's get it. Name this actor.
Idris.
Ooh. Who played Apple in the film Rotten?
Jacob.
Okay, show out there. Name this actress.
I don't know.
Watch it closely.
Who was it?
You know, she just looked different.
But hold on. Is that? All right.
Silly Berry. Who played King in Cheddar Boys?
Which one was King?
The lead.
Who was that, Chris?
Yeah, Chris. And name this logo. Everybody been getting stomped, so let me see if you know it.
Hold on, that's is it Goldmeyer?
Yes. Oh my God, you're the only one that got it. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cool. All right. Which actor won the top 12 awards in 2023 on the Corey Love Show?
Oh, shit. It wasn't none of mine, so I don't give a fuck.
I'm not playing with you.
Oh, shit. It was one of mine. Oh, shit.
Ah, that's crazy. Whoa. All right, name this movie.
Oh, that's Plug Love.
You already know. Okay. And the last one. What's the name of Tyrese in the hit film Baby Boy?
Jody.
Yes. Yep. You did good. You did real good. Okay. So you're going to be watching TV and stuff. So
I can't believe I fucked up on Halle Berry.
Oh no, she looked totally different though.
No, you know what though, and I'm gonna be honest with you, and this is probably, you know, whatever. I don't really pay too much attention to a lot of the independent film award shows.
Oh, okay, just, yeah.
I mean, and truthfully, and that's just because a lot of people focus on the popularity as opposed to the performances.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I look at stuff, and it's like, well, best actor, and I put this on a post one day. Tell us what movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times I feel like they don't, because a lot of these motherfuckers don't really be that good, but they dick suck it and want to stay on their good side. So, you know, down there, like just because somebody popular don't mean they're good. And this is the thing. It's, you have actors and you have performers, right? A lot of people are performers because they perform in front of the camera, but they play themselves. I'm not mad at that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Get your money how you get it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you're really acting. If the same motherfucker that I see in the movie, the same motherfucker I meet in real life, you're not acting. You're performing.
Right. You
know? And okay. I think, unfortunately, it's a lot of people who are actually actors with range who are being overlooked due to a lot of popularity. But again, I'm not mad at everybody. Look, get your bag how you get it, whether it's from being popular or being a great actor. I don't think anybody's right or anybody's wrong, but like I said, when it comes to a lot of the award shows, it's based off of, you look at the shit, you know it's popularity because you know it ain't.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why I'm glad, like, Kia B got the opportunity, because I feel like she's overlooked a lot. There's another girl, man, I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Her name on Instagram is A Real B Focus. I really like her style. She's not in enough. And sometimes I don't know if it's because of them, they don't want a certain role or what it may be. But there's some people that I honestly think are like phenomenal. Look,
you have Amira Garrison, who is phenomenal.
Love her.
Who I feel is often overlooked. And the truth is, and it's kind of a tricky thing, because we have to sell the movies too. You know what I'm saying? And so looks play a big part in it.
Big discussion. Dennis and I had, it was huge. We were talking about numbers on IG and talent. And it's like, I get it. But my thing is, if I have 100,000 followers and I'm a model, or I do fashion, that doesn't mean that my audience wants to see me acting.
Yeah, but the truth is, what your audience is aware that you're in a movie, and they're aware that movie exists.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Got you. I know.
So for me, it's trying to find a balance, you know, with the popularity and the numbers and all the other stuff, and the talent. Because the truth is, I don't want to make an ass movie filled with popular people that don't fit the roles. That's just me. You know, and I have, truthfully, and I have a certain level of integrity to my work where it's not just about the money for me.
All right.
And keep in mind, different people do filmmaking for different reasons. And whatever their reasons are, none of it is wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of it is wrong. It's just you have to figure out what works for you.
Right.
And, you know, so, but that's why when you look at the different filmmakers, everybody has their own thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my thing is, as long as we're all doing something positive and constructive, then shit, rock out. Your way may not be my way, but, you know, you ain't out here busting nobody over the head, and you give opportunities to people. So, shit, do what you're doing.
Yeah. That's true.
Y'all do y'all, I do me.
That's it. Get it how you live.
Yeah,
so I just want to thank you so much, Legend, for being on my show tonight. I always tell people, I always tell my audience before I close out, if there were no you, there would be no Corey Love Show. So thanks for even thinking of me to be a part of this. And there's so many clips that I want to share from this conversation. So shout out to you again if you're tuning in and you're not already following. I did not ask anyone that's on to drop any questions. So if you do have any questions, still drop them in the comment section. He will be back on with me on Monday while we do the live review of When Her Walls Talk. So you'll have an opportunity. I'll have the opportunity to ask the questions that you drop in the comment section. So thank you again so much. And guys, it's, as you always know, I like to close out with guidance, blessings, and love. So again, thank you and good night.
Hey, we not leave without shouting out my wife, man.
All right, Queen. That's right. Let's go.
Shout out to my wife, Queen. I am Queen_BW.
I am Queen. Yes.
God damn it. You interviewing me, you interviewing her. It's a package. That's how we do over here.
That's right.
But, shout out to my wife, Queen.
Right. That's what's up. Love it. So make sure you follow her as well. So tell us the Instagram again.
I am Queen_BW with that wife.
Before you get on me, cause
yeah, man, you ain't no, we ain't doing that.
I think I did. I'm already following her though.
Yeah.
I am Queen. Yeah, I'm already following her, boo.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, that's cool, but I need the audience to know. Like, look,
yeah, make sure. Because, listen, she going to be writing as well?
Yeah, actually, she's getting ready to start directing. She's already producing. She helped me produce When Her Walls Talk. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of big things coming up, man. We got a lot of big things coming up. So,
looking forward to it. All right, yep. Y'all. Good night. Go ahead. You want to say something?
Yep. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining.
All right. Take care.